his way, and will be here in a matter of just a few minutes. So I think we're going to go ahead and go. We've got a quorum, and we have a number of people who wish to address us today. First of all, we want to welcome down to Metro, our partners up from Gillam County, Commissioner Weatherall and Judge Schaefer, if you guys would like to come forward. And I understand that you've signed up to address council, so if you want to come forward and do that, we'd be happy to have you come. Go ahead.
Me? Okay. For the record, my name is Leslie Weatherall. I was able to meet with several of you earlier today, but for the rest of the council, I would like to take a few minutes to introduce myself. I am currently serving as the newest Gillam County Commissioner, trying to fill the very big shoes of my predecessor, Commissioner Dennis Gronquist. I know our county, and Dennis in particular, has had a long, productive relationship with this council, and it is one that I hope will continue. I'm sure you've heard this before, but it is worth saying here again today. The partnership that we've created, urban and rural communities coming together, has been a critical lifeline for us in Frontier, Eastern Oregon. The impact goes beyond a single company and its employees. It ripples throughout our entire community. The Metro contract continues to serve as a catalyst for the economic viability of our communities at a time when many of our neighbors have seen sharp declines. In other words, we are better because of our 30-year relationship with Metro, and we are very proud of what we have built together. So it should come as no surprise that we are anxiously awaiting the final RFP and the awarding of Metro's solid waste disposal contract. I wanted to let you know that Gillam County, along with the cities of Condon and Arlington, have provided feedback on the initial draft RFP, encouraging Metro to make some modifications to better gauge and consider the impact of the contract on prospective host communities. I won't go over those in detail here. My colleague, Judge Steve Schaefer, will handle that. But I hope you'll take a look at our comments and please consider giving more weight to the broader impact on host communities as you evaluate these proposals. Again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come say hello and for your friendship with Gillam County all these years.
Thank you. Judge?
Well, President Hughes, members of the council, for the record, I'm Steve Schaefer. I'm currently serving as the judge of Gillam County. I wanted to echo Commissioner Weatherall's comments about the importance of the partnership and the stability and economic vitality for our county. Because of the nearly 30-year partnership with Metro, the people of Gillam County have been able to revitalize our communities, create economic opportunities, and improve the lives of their citizens. We are proud of what we've accomplished, and we hope you are too. As Commissioner Weatherall mentioned, Gillam County, along with the cities of Arlington, submitted comments, and the city of Condon, submitted comments to Metro's draft RFP solid waste disposal. I wanted to take just a few minutes to give you the key takeaways that are in those comments. First, we are pleased to see community and diversity listed in your evaluation criteria. We believe the broader impact on host communities and not just the impact on the winning company and its employees should be a significant consideration in awarding this contract. That's why we'd like to see this criteria given more weight. Devoting more of these points to the impact on the host communities is important to all of us. We believe these changes will ensure the impact on host communities is given the appropriate weight in the evaluation process. Secondly, we would like to see some modifications made to allow Metro to more effectively gauge and award points based on the overall impact to the host county. We know that not all job creation is created equal. 20 jobs in a major metropolitan area do not have the same community impact that those same jobs have in a small frontier community. I think I've had conversations of the difference between what we consider to be urban, rural, and with our area, frontier. We've developed a whole new criteria, that being the frontier end of things. And when Estacada and some of the legislative people that I've had conversations are considered to be rural, that kind of creates a frontier atmosphere for us in Condon. Our written comments contain more detailed suggestions for the council to consider. I hope you'll take a look at them and consider giving more weight to the broader impact on the host communities as you evaluate your proposals. Again, I want to thank you for the opportunity and share our to allow us to share our comments today, and for the continued partnership between the Metro and Gillam County.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you, particularly with the current conditions in the gorge, roughing that trip down. It must have seemed kind of like coming in from the frontier.
Well, when we scheduled this, that wasn't going on. It was quite a shock to have to deal with it today.
Yeah. Well, it of course has had some impact on our ability to send the waste your way also. So we've had to divert some of that for a while, but I think that that's supposed to maybe be over by Saturday.
Well, somebody said, I believe I watched on the Channel 2 News, that we're expecting rain the first part of next week. Yeah. That'll be a real benefit to that area.
I think everybody's, all Oregonians pray for rain after the first 2 weeks of sunshine.
Again, thank you for your time, and it's good to see all of you again.
Thank you very much. Actually, I have Councillor Arrington.
If I might, once again, thank you and the full commission for the entry from Gillam County for our Let's Talk Trash Film Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
That was really awesome and really brings to life the impact of the landfill presence in the county and how it has achieved the very goals that you've outlined here in your memos and your testimony that each of you made today. So thank you.
President Hughes, Councillor Harrington, that was an awful lot of fun making it. We thoroughly enjoyed every moment of that. So it's not very often that we have those type of people out in our small communities that can allow us to put something like that together. So it was fun.
It's a good relationship that has grown up between the two agencies, and I think that you are one of our actual fun destinations when we do field trips to go up and hang out with you guys up in.
Well, we hope we treat you correctly.
You have always treated us more than correctly. You
okay.
treated us well, and we appreciate it.
Again, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Coming.
Okay. Next, let's do the group from Unite Here, Dave Moore, Michelle Hawkins, and B. Marston. Yep. We actually have those mics will work too, so we can spread out across three of them. If you want.
Hi, my name is Dave Moore. I work for Aramark at the Oregon Convention Center. I've been there since about 1991. the reason why we're here is we're going through a lot of changes with the hotel being built. And our facility has a good percentage of part-time employees. And a big concern with the hotel going in is the issue with parking. And one of the things when people are hearing about the parking structure by the Lloyd lot being sold as part of the deal, and that there is their first concern is parking, and it's a real serious issue because, you know, as employees, how many ever hours they get, their first concern is getting to work safely, not being concerned about their situation. I have experiences every week with people being concerned about going out and plugging their meter during their shift, getting cited for parking tickets, vandalism, safety issues as far as people come in at 4 in the morning. Sometimes they stay till 11 o'clock at night. And that lot is a big issue for them, and having that taken away and not having another viable option or nothing being discussed is a big issue. You know, sometimes Aramark, whether it's Aramark or I used to work for Finehost back in the 90s, you know, we're a big part of that building. And sometimes just because we're food and beverage and we're not considered Metro employees, we're considered more of a subcontractor. But I can tell you, when I think of subcontractors, I think of people that basically just do one job and then they leave. We actually have, you know, a good percentage of people that have been there since the opening in 1990. We have a lot of people that have been here. I mean, I've been here since 1991. I would say probably a good 25 to 30 people that have been there since the grand opening. A lot of people that have been there since the expansion, you know, in 2003. And a good handful of people that have been there for at least 5 or 6 years. So we're not really talking about subcontractors. We're talking about people that have, you know, a great working relationship with other people in the building. They've helped generate a tremendous amount of revenue, you know, in the last dozen, 15, 20, 25 years. They've helped to develop a reputation of how great the convention center is, you know, not only on the West Coast, but nationwide. And that relationship and these people are going to help as the hotel advances. So I really hope that you consider this an issue, you know, that you consider this a serious issue and take it seriously. And I look forward to having a dialogue with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Council, for the record, my name is Michael Hawkins. I'm a lead for food and beverage at the Oregon Convention Center. I work for Aramark. I've been with them for over 10 years. We have been asking for bus passes, discounted bus passes, for many, many years, and we don't seem to get anywhere with this. With the high cost of living now, with rents going up, it's making it extremely difficult for our workers. We have quite a few workers over the years. It just seems like every year more people are taking mass transit. With the way the parking issues are around the convention center, I don't know if you were here last weekend, but you could not get a parking space with Comic-Con here. You know, I talked to employees, 2 hours it took to find a place to park their cars. I've talked to other employees. They've heard about our parking lot that's going to be going away. They talk about alternatives, how they would use a parking pass to come to work. We would really like further dialogue with each and every one of you. And thank you for this time.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Pete?
Hi, guys.
Good to see you again.
Don't know my own strength. So I am B. Marston. I'm currently the union rep for Oregon Convention Center. I'm also a bartender at P5, and I think I've served most of you at one point or another. And we are here today to talk about parking as well as mass transit. And these are some issues that I know are very important to y'all as well. And so I think we can have some really productive dialogue about this. The parking is certainly an issue, but as Michael and I talked about earlier, there's a lot of people that are interested in mass transit, and a discounted bus pass, I've heard from many people there that they would use mass transit if there was a discounted bus pass option, which means this could be a win for the environment and for our whole community. And the parking is as well as an issue. I mean, there's always going to be people that drive. And we want to make sure people are safe. I mean, we have bartenders from Stir walking to their car with a pocket full of cash, you know, at late hours of the night. And so we want to make sure that the parking options they have are safe and also convenient and affordable. We know this isn't something that is going to be resolved today. So our intent basically is to make you aware of our concerns. And we hope to have further dialogue with you on these subjects. And, you know, it wasn't so long ago that Dave and I were in here talking about the Convention Center Hotel, and we had a very productive collaboration there between our employer, Aramark, as well as Metro, the government agency, and our union. And that was a win for everybody involved, all the stakeholders. And so we hope to have a dialogue around this issue that can bring that kind of result to where it's a win-win for everybody involved. So we'll be reaching out to y'all to set up a time when we can have further dialogue about that. And we thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Do y'all have any questions?
Do you have any questions, Councilor?
Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, when you say referred to that your parking is losing your parking, you're referring to the parking lot that's on the south side of the convention center?
Yeah, it's nicknamed the Lloyd Lot, and the employees are giving, I think they use their debit card and they get some sort of voucher or something that they use to get in. And that's been happening pretty much ever since the expansion, I believe. And that's really their only option. And parking in the street really is not an option unless you're going to walk a great distance. And then now that the hotel is going in, anything around there goes away.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
I first want to just thank you for coming in and sharing and, you know, keeping us informed about your work. And, you know, I think we have a lot of recognition for how much the employees at Aramark are really responsible for a lot of the success that we have in our facilities, and the service that's provided is, you know, we always get incredibly high marks. So thank you for all that you're doing. I'm just interested in terms of what's you've talked about alternative and transit access and parking, and is there a sense of how much and how often folks would access either one of those? Is there, you know, how many folks are interested in the transit option versus the parking, and kind of what sort of volume are we talking about?
So I would be very willing to conduct a survey and try and get some more hard information, because I agree we should deal with facts. Because if we think this is a conversation that's going somewhere, that's something that we can totally do. Absolutely. What we're saying today is basically what we're hearing from coworkers and things like that, and it's helpful to be able to quantify that. The concerns about parking are very real, and we know that parking area is going away. So there definitely needs to be a discussion about, you know, what does the future of parking look like for folks that drive? The transit issue, I think you're right. I think it's important to assess what is the interest, what is the level of interest, and have a very solid grasp of that in order to have a productive conversation about it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
I have some information needs that I think the chief operating officer can help me with. I'll just lay out what I think I need, and if you could have yourself or someone follow up with me. Okay. I'm not expecting the information right now. I would like to understand where we're at. These employees are employed by Aramark and the contracts thereof, and I don't know if there's a contract that's under negotiation or a new one underway, so I need that context because it's something that Merck would be dealing with. I do very much appreciate hearing your concerns, mm-hmm. Absolutely. With regard to discounted TriMet passes, I need the reminder of what the employees in this building covered through our AFSCME contract. You know, what are the provisions for TriMet passes? Does it apply, for example, to full-time, and does it apply to part-time? Similarly, up at the zoo and the Merck venues. And I think that was about it. Thank you very much. Oh, and parking capabilities as well for those very same groups. This building, that venue, and the zoo. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next group, Jim Robeson, Ellen Eno, and Dana Karstensen.
Hi, Councilors, President. I'm Jim Robeson. I live in North Portland, and I am here today as President of Healthcare for All Oregon Action. And the reason I came is just to start a conversation. I want to start the process of getting support through Metro for having healthcare for all. You probably saw yesterday Bernie Sanders submitted his bill to the U.S. Senate, along with 16 other co-sponsors in the Senate. And that is ideally what we need for this country to solve problems for healthcare nationwide, is to have a national plan. But we also at Healthcare for All Oregon believe that if we can't get it at the national level, we need to do it at the state level. And so we're asking local governments to get involved in helping to support making this happen and making this work, making sure that it's a way that it will work for the local governments and it can work on the statewide level. And if we can get it nationally, that's much better. But I wanted to just start this conversation, and Tom suggested a good way to get started is to come here with public comment and start the conversation going, and then we can have some meetings, really work out what can be adopted at Metro to help with this and what can be done moving forward. I will mention that as an employer, a big part of your cost is covering health care for employees, and that's something that we could solve at the national level or at the statewide level. And a lot of you have worked, have done work in healthcare, and you understand how important it is and how difficult it is to make sure that everyone has healthcare. So that's where I'm at right now, is to start this conversation. And I'm asking a question right now of just who should I set up a first meeting with to really get this rolling?
Jim, why don't you contact my coordinator, Roger Gonzalez,
and okay.
He was right over there, and you'll get you on my agenda, and we'll sit down and chat about that.
All right, we'll do that. Okay.
Ellen.
Hello. I'm Ellen Eno. I am a Labor 43 member and shop steward up at the Oregon Zoo. Just to touch briefly on what Jim just said, ACA's passage was the first time many of my members had health care. But I wanted to spend the day and time thanking Catherine Harrington. Mm-hmm. Councillor Harrington, you came up to the zoo, you took up my invitation, got your food handler's card, and joined the food service workers. Bravo. Thank you. I hear you got to experience the lunch rush and the elephant ear cart. Now, it's my belief you didn't come on a very hot day. It was warm. So what...
Hydrate.
Sometimes hydration amongst our food service workers is difficult to achieve. What was upsetting this time around was the portable AC units were not available for our food service department to utilize. But now that we're almost through the hot weather, I invite you all to experience Zoo Lights. In Zoo Lights, the department to come and enjoy would be the admissions department. Come take a stint at doing ticket scanning for a couple hours, and then switch down to the zoo train line and help get folks sorted into the right timeline, timed ticket line, and then sorted into the corral to get loaded on the train. It's an interesting gig. I like saying gig. But it's also an experience. In admissions, all that weather, the rain, the snow, the ice, we are there, and we're standing there, not always with heaters, and we must stay in uniform. So once again, come join us down at up at the Oregon Zoo. Come experience what it means to be admission staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Dana?
My name is Dana Carstensen. I'm also a shop steward, a member of Local 483 at the Oregon Zoo. I want to inform you guys some of the situations we had during this summer, because I know all of you want to be informed. This summer was one of the hottest summers we've seen in Oregon. And the zoo workers have to keep the zoo running and have to stay, you know, as the region grows at 1.75%, the zoo is just going to get busier. So we have to be there. Rain or shine, snow or ice, we have to be there and keep it open. It's our job, and it's what we want to do. But during one of the hottest days of the summer, our union rep decided to do good for us. He went and bought hundreds of these. You soak them for 1 hour, and you put them around your neck. He came to the zoo on a whim, bought these, and started handing them out. Management then went around and told us we couldn't wear them because it clashed with the uniform. Then management also told workers who were wearing ice packs under their hat that they had to take the ice packs off because it made their head look too poofy. As all of you know, you've also been in the zoo, and we have misting stations for our patrons because it's an actual serious condition to get heat stroke and overheated, and we've had multiple code blues where that's happened for both employees and our patrons. Management told staff they could not go in these misting stations because it'd be unprofessional to look wet. When we're working in 100-plus degree weather, 90-degree weather, and when you, Catherine, you know how it is, it's intense, and you're moving. It becomes a dangerous situation. I've seen my workers have heat stroke. I've seen them go to the hospital, and I've seen them disappear because their health spirals out of control. So I have two questions for you. What's more fiscally responsible, letting your workers wear these or paying workers' comp? My second question, what is more disturbing, seeing me clash with my uniform wearing this or seeing one of us passed out on, you know, on the walkway? I think it's pretty straightforward. I think I know all of your answers. So, thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Questions for either any of these folks? Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, on the consent agenda today are two items, the minutes from the August 17th council meeting and resolution number 174822. Could I have a motion regarding the consent agenda? Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Resolution number 174832. Ms. Papsdorf, could we have that read by title only?
Resolution number 174832 for the purpose of proclaiming September 26 and 28, 2017 as Minority Enterprise Development Week.
Tracy, you know.
Good afternoon, Council President Hughes and Metro Councilors. I'm Tracy Segal. I'm Senior Procurement Analyst here at Metro. I had some colleagues with me, but they had to go off and continue to get their work done, so I'll be representing us by myself today. Minority Enterprise Development Week is a national celebration put on by the Department of Commerce Minority Business Development Agency, and Business Diversity Institute hosts a local event, which has activities this year on September 26th and September 28th. Metro staff is regularly engaged in Minority Enterprise Development Week, as well as Business Diversity Institute's other activities. We have seen these programs to be so effective toward our efforts to increase equity in contracting that I contribute to Business Diversity Institute by serving as secretary on the executive board and representing Metro there. I urge you to support this proclamation declaring September 26th and 28th Minority Enterprise Development Week, showing your support for Metro staff's efforts to improve the capacity of historically underutilized businesses and to collaborate to eliminate structural barriers to their success.
Thank you, Tracy. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Any discussion?
Is there a motion?
There is a motion and a second. And
there was on the earlier item.
There wasn't?
I move approval of the resolution, Mr. President. I think that we're already walking the walk. We definitely should talk the talk.
There you go. And second.
I'll second.
All right. Moved and seconded. I guess it was the last one, the consent agenda that we got the motion and second for. All right. Any discussion other than to agree with Councillor Stacey's walking and talking comment?
And chewing gum.
I don't try not to do those three things at the same time, but so seeing no discussion, let's have a roll call.
Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Harrington?
Yes.
Councillor Craddock?
Aye.
Councillor Collette?
Yes.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes.
Council President Hughes?
Aye. Motion passes. Resolution number 4.2, resolution number 174828. Ms. Papsdorf, could we have that read by title?
Resolution number 17-4828, for the purpose of authorizing the Chief Operating Officer to grant to the City of Portland a stormwater line easement over zoo property, except from the City of Portland a drop-off lane and sidewalk easement benefiting the zoo, and enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Portland to share improvement costs.
Would I have a motion?
Moved
and seconded. Mr. Robinson.
Council President Hughes, councilors, I'm Scott Robinson, your Deputy Chief Operating Officer. I can't say that I'm pleased. I'm more than pleased to be here today to bring forward this agreement between Metro and the City of Portland's Parks and Recreation Department. This is where I'd normally do a really long as you recall moment. I'm going to try to make it brief and just bring succinctly forward sort of what this agreement is about. In short, the IGA, before you, culminates several years of working collaboratively to deliver on improvements to the Washington Park parking area, as well as the Zoo Education Center drop-off area. The agreement also resolves outstanding issues dating back more than 15 years between Metro and Portland Parks and Recreation. So we're bringing some finality to a number of items that have been open. This agreement is the final IGA. It formalizes agreements previously seen by and approved by this council in the form of a memorandum of understanding in 2014. So this just formalizes it in a methodology that provides for approval by both council at the City of Portland and then as hopefully yourselves. The IGA contains four important elements, the first is of which is the reason why this item is before you today, and that is that Metro Code Section 2.04.050 states that Metro Council must approve intergovernmental agreements by which Metro agrees to acquire or transfer any interest in real property. So the first item is this. The IGA requests Metro Council approval for granting a shared easement for a stormwater line that has been constructed by the zoo on behalf of Portland Parks and Recreation, largely through zoo property, in conjunction with the construction of the Zoo Education Center. So this stormwater arrangement was required as part of the conditional land use approval process that brought the West Lot into use by Portland Parks and Recreation, and of course it's a primary facility for the zoo to use. So that is a requirement that meets the conditional land use approval. So we're asking for, again, a easement. It's a joint use easement across zoo property. The second key item, the IGA will result in reimbursement to the zoo of 80% of the construction costs to the tune of $427,220.32. Third, the IGA results in the City of Portland Parks and Recreation Department granting a permanent sidewalk and drop-off lane easement to provide access to the lane in front of the Zoo Education Center to be used by the zoo. This resolves also a historic land use transaction between the city and Metro, so it's all rolled up together, and that dates back to 2001, so it predates me, so I can't give you the entirety of the as you recall moment, but we're very happy to have resolved this. And last but not least, an operations agreement that outlines how the zoo will use that drop-off area in times where we have peak use, and so there's constraints in terms of the number of traffic people that are the number of traffic interactions that occur and how we move traffic into and out of the zoo. So those are the four main elements, and I'm pleased to add that the City of Council of Portland approved this agreement yesterday at their meeting, and so we're just pending your approval and would be ready to sign and receive a check. So with that, I urge you to approve this particular intergovernmental agreement. Any questions?
Are there questions for Scott? I'm not seeing anybody light up. So could we have a roll call?
Do we have a motion?
We have a motion and a second.
Councillor Chase?
Aye.
Councillor Harrington?
Yes, thank
you. Councillor Craddock?
Aye.
Councillor Collette?
Yes.
Councillor Dirksen?
Yes and yes.
Councillor Stacey?
Aye.
Councillor President Hughes?
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I might add that some people have a bucket list. I just have a little checklist.
This is one of them. You're not putting anything in bucket list. That's right. Next item on the agenda is Chief Operating Officer Communication.
I was actually going to make that crack, so I'm really sad somebody stole my thunder. That I'm sorry that council takes these actions, because every time you resolve a Scott Robinson issue, it's one day closer.
One day closer.
And it makes me have one fewer thing to guilt trip him about. So thank you, Scott, for the hard work. I happen to know how challenging this has been. But you still have a couple other parks issues. Okay, all right. So I got a list. All right, good. Ironically enough, I have three things. All right, here we go. First, I want to give you a quick update on how the Eagle Creek fire is affecting operations. I think you all know the fire is continuing to burn. I think they're at about 13% containment right now. Blue Lake Park has reopened. Oxbow and three of our cemeteries, though, are going to stay closed and will stay closed until the evacuation orders for the communities around those facilities are lifted. And just so you remember, the three cemeteries that are affected are Corbett, Gresham, and Douglas cemeteries. And then second of all, I just sort of wanted to make sure we all had clarity about what's happening to solid waste. Solid waste is going essentially to three different places. Some of it is going to Cowlitz County, some of it is going to Coffin Butte, and some of it is still going to Arlington. And we're working with ODOT and with Walsh Trucking to make sure that we're routing it appropriately. Last I knew, it was going through Maupin and then up Highway 197. And the other thing is we do have a backlog for a variety of reasons. Some of our facilities are not available to us on Saturdays. So we're working collaboratively with Walsh to try to move trash on Saturdays. And I want to publicly thank Walsh Trucking for the work that they've done to help us move that backlog. If you have any questions about that, let me know. I'm also told that the news on I-84 has not been consistent, except for one thing. They do say that it will probably be the westbound lanes that open first rather than the eastbound lanes because, as you might guess, the eastbound lanes are closer to the cliffs, and so there are more issues related to rockfall and potential tree damage on the eastbound side of the freeway. So you might hear Saturday, but Saturday may be westbound only, not eastbound. And there's some risk of landslide due to the forecast rain, so we'll both be glad for the rain and nervous about the rain at the same time. Second, I wanted to make sure you saw the response to your question on Tuesday's work session about the OCC remodel and plaza construction schedule. In a nutshell, we'll be working on design and permitting between now and July of next year. We'll start construction in July of next year. We expect that to take about a year. So that project should be finished in the fall of 2019 before the hotel opens. If you have questions, Craig was here, and he managed to escape before I could draw attention to him. And then last but not least, I hope you also saw the announcement about the two awards won by the Oregon Zoo at the Association of Zoos and Aquariums conference this week. The Oregon Zoo and its other partners in Condor Recovery Project took top honors for the North American Conservation Awards. And the zoo also won the Exhibit Award for Elephant Lands. And so, first of all, it's pretty awesome that the recognition for Elephant Lands keeps coming in. But second of all, it's pretty awesome to get the level of recognition among the zoo's peers in terms of the quality of that exhibit, in terms of not just for the visitor experience, but for the health and welfare of the elephants. So when you see Don Moore next, when he comes back from Indianapolis, please congratulate him and all of the zoo staff on those awards. Okay, that's all I have, unless you all have questions.
Anybody questions for Ms. Bennett? Okay, then. Council Communications. Look at there. Councillor Stacey.
Mr. President, I want to acknowledge my tardiness in arriving here today and offer as explanation that I was attending the first meeting of the President's Council at the Portland Community College Southeast Campus. President Howard has asked me and other folks to serve on this advisory council. I'm sure there's some element of fundraising involved, but I also recognize the opportunity for strengthening an existing partnership that I think is important to the school and certainly important to Metro and the work we do in planning for our great region. And I made a big fuss about their intended meeting schedule, and I'm happy to report that they won't be meeting on Tuesdays and Thursdays at midday in the future.
Councilor Chase. Thank you. I am assigned the duty this week of reporting back about our MPAC meeting and would invite any additions from my colleagues who are also there. We had two items presented. One was around the Career Construction Pathway Project, and the members around the table, I think, were very interested and enthusiastic about that idea and taking advantage of the opportunity to sort of have a regional support system for that work. And the other was around the regional funding and investment opportunities for equitable housing. Emily Lieb presented that. That was something that was a lot of testimony. A lot of folks from the community came and testified, which isn't something we see too often at MPAC, and was a nice, well-rounded group of folks talking about housing needs. Emily presented the report that you've all heard, and we had a lot of conversation about it, and I would say a very productive conversation. The conclusion, and I'll talk about a little bit about some of the conversation, but the conclusion was there was unanimous support amongst MPAC to continue to engage in this work and to find ways to move this work forward. There were some of the couple of mayors and one county representative that had expressed their thoughts about a construction excise tax, which, of course, as a reminder, this is not any endorsement of any strategies. This is a lining out of ideas and an invitation for folks to consider ideas and putting some ideas on the table to get that started. Some ideas were shared about alternative ideas for resource generation that were very interesting, and I think staff is interested in looking into and answering some of the questions that were raised about that. There was another comment about really bringing in folks from other parts of the country that can present some of the strategies that they've seen be successful and have that be a point of conversation about what we could do successfully. I guess I'll leave it there and see if my colleagues have any other points to add.
Put very diplomatically, thank you.
Yes. Thanks.
Martha, go ahead.
So, sorry to take out a tangent, but you'll see in a second one of the many reasons why I would miss Scott Robinson, which he said when I talked about Elvin Land, I should have said two other things. First, it's the 16th award
has received, so pretty amazing. And second, the person sitting in the back of the room, who maybe is the program director for Elephant Lands, also was selected by the Daily Journal of Commerce as part of a group of 46, what do they call it, women of vision in the Portland region. So not only did she guide that amazing project that just got its 16th award, but she herself, yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Catherine.
Oh, thank you. So there were a couple of meetings that went on in the last 24 hours that I just wanted to mention. Yesterday, I joined two of our very senior Metro staffers, Randy Tucker, thank you, and Dan Moeller from our Parks and Nature group to meet with Senator Betsy Johnson, a couple of Farm Bureau representatives, and the Harris family members. The Harris family has a farm that's adjacent to the Killen Wetlands natural area, and they have some concerns regarding water management on their property. And so we had a really good discussion about information and our understanding to date, the presence of a ditch in the ODOT right-of-way property that goes adjacent to both of our properties, and also the state of affairs with regard to the Metro property Killen Wetlands, which is the only protected peat soil wetland in Oregon, and a lot of state interest in ensuring that the restoration effort continues there. I want to thank Senator Johnson on video for pulling that meeting together. It's been 10 years since we had such a large set of all of us together talking about concerns. Metro continues to be committed to ensure that adjacent area farms to Metro properties continue to be productive farmland. And in our own portfolio, some of our properties have working farmland, and we continue to lease those properties out for productive farmland as well. In the evening, Representative Janine Solman was meeting with CPO 13, which is one of the rural citizen participation organizations in Washington County, in the area of Gales Creek, Roy, Verbort, and vicinity. There was a bit of information articulated about the Council Creek Regional Trail, which we all know was a partnership project. Our Metro funding and interest was with the trail in the urban area. Washington County worked with the community in laying out a potential vision through a master plan for a trail extending north of Forest Grove up to Banks and connecting with the Banks-Vernonia Trail. A lot of members of the community expressed concern at the meeting last night about a trail going across farmland, and there unfortunately was a great deal of misinformation about who is leading the charge there, if at all, and whatnot. So there's quite a bit of work to do to essentially clean up that mess, and so I've enrolled support from our chief operating officer to see about getting support to do just that, so that members of the community have the benefit of correct information. So all we can do is try. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Dirksen.
Thank you. Just want to remind everybody that this weekend, Railvolution begins in Denver, Colorado, and myself and several other delegates from the region will be, including Councilor Stacy, will be going to Denver for that. And then that will go through, I think, Wednesday morning. And then we're also staying, and several other people are coming from the Portland area, and we're going to be meeting the next 2 days with officials from the Denver metropolitan area for a transportation best practices trip as well to discuss things they've done. They've done several very innovative things in the realm of transportation, and they want to share with us, and we want to learn from them. So we'll be spending the next 2 or 3 days talking with them about those things as well. So Councilor Stacy and I will not be here next week because we'll be in Denver enjoying those Rocky Mountain airs.
I hope they're clear and cool.
Anyone else? So yesterday we met with the mayors and chairs, which was actually an extended meeting of the Metropolitan Mayors Association that were kind enough to invite us to make a series of presentations, and it also invited the three chairs of the three counties to attend, also to hear those presentations. We were asked to present about the food scraps program, where we were in the process of the land use, the next land use growth management report, and the community construction pathways project. Interestingly enough, it was in descending order of controversy with it surprises me that we actually had almost no controversy over land use planning at all, which is probably a first in the community. But they were there was a lot of discussion about food scraps. And I think actually we were able to, Jennifer Erickson did a fantastic job, as she always did and does, and I think she was able to answer a number of questions, and we got some questions that we needed to find some additional information on, such as where the heck do you think you get the authority to do this stuff. And so we've got legal staff has prepared a fairly detailed explanation of where, in fact, we do get the authority to do this stuff. And it might be worth all of us taking a look at it. But it was such an interesting discussion about food scraps, and then a somewhat smaller but equally interesting discussion around land use planning that we never actually got to C2P2. Oh. So David Fortney came along to make a presentation that he never got to make. But I'm sure they will have us back on another occasion. And I thought it was a very good meeting. And we overwhelmed them with a cast of thousands. So if they had had any questions at all, there was somebody on our team that could have answered virtually any question that they had to ask. So I think we did a good job. And the ones we couldn't answer, we have people back here who could write columns of reports about what we need to answer. Yes, go ahead.
Could you share that communication to the council when you send it out? I'm just curious to see what the responses are.
Where do we get the authority to do this? Yeah. Did I get that as an email? I did. So we'll share it. We'll make sure the council gets that. An interesting meeting I had yesterday with Jeff Miller and the new president of Travel Portland, which was just sort of a general introductory meeting with him. But in the process, Jeff told us that Portland has been selected as one of 10 American cities to join 10 European cities to discuss how we market ourselves to the rest of the world. And that's at a meeting that's going to take place in Amsterdam. He didn't talk about what the other American cities were, but the European cities are Barcelona, Amsterdam, Paris, some pretty good places. So if we're considered on a par with that, maybe we do have to go back to making the greatest place as our motto again. I'm not sure, but he graciously has invited me to go along on that trip. And so I think I'll spend a couple days at the end of October in Amsterdam, probably getting wet. But I think that's a great honor for Portland to be selected as one of 10 cities in the United States that are viewed as far enough along in that process that we have something to share with the rest of the world.
Was it Travel Portland who was asked to choose the cities? How did the choice come about?
No. I don't think it was. I mean, Travel Portland was selected. It was whatever the international organization is that's sponsoring this conference. So anyway, it would have been an easier selection by Travel Portland. In fact, they would have been hard put to find 9 other cities. If no one has anything else, we are scheduled to start the work session at 3:30. Is that correct?
3 o'clock.
Hey,
ready to go.
All right.
We are right on schedule for doing the work session. I'm going to adjourn the council meeting. The next regular council meeting has been scheduled for Thursday, September 28th at 2 p.m. here. I was just saying, Denver.